Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title.
Arvin Minocha, President and CEO of the Wolf Trap Foundation.
And we are discussing the 50th anniversary of Wolf Trap. Wow, 50 years. That's a big birthday. It'll be celebrated July 1st as Wolf Trap hosts a special anniversary concert called 50 Years Together, a Celebration of Wolf Trap. Hey, Arvin, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Nice to be back.
All right, cool. So, you know, this thing is going to mark 50 years. I'm seeing a huge, a couple of huge names here. Tell us this star-studded event is going to include.
Well, this event is going to include Cynthia Erivo. It's going to include the National Symphony. It's going to include Christine Gerke. It's going to be conducted by Joanne Folletta. And it will also feature the pianist Joyce Yang.
Great. And everyone will remember Cynthia Erivo, obviously, you know, a Grammy winning, you know, musician in her own right, but, you know, has also transitioned to the big screen. You know, she was great as Harriet in the biopic on Harriet Tubman. So she can do it all. I believe she played Aretha Franklin in a series this year as well.
She can do it all. Absolutely.
How did you land her? Do you call her up and say, I mean, do you guys have an existing relationship? Has she played there before?
You know, she hadn't. This will be her debut at Wolf Trap. And we've been talking with her for a couple of years about the right thing to do. But, you know, this is our 50th anniversary concert. So I'm glad that this is the debut that she has chosen to make. And one of the things that we were really trying to accomplish in this concert is to really honor the spirit of our founder, Mrs. Catherine Feline Schaus, who amongst many, many other things, you know, we all know her for Wolf Trap and her love for the arts, but she was really a pioneering champion of the empowerment of women. You know, she has written very extensively about the role women play in society. She herself was the first woman to graduate from the Graduate School of Education. She had always held that very, very close to her heart. So we thought, you know, when we're putting together this 50th anniversary that celebrates Wolf Trap and of course her legacy there, let's also make it a concert that celebrates this other passion of Mrs. Schaus. So all of the guest artists with the National Symphony are incredibly strong powerhouse women in their own fields of music. And I think Mrs. Schaus would really have enjoyed that, to have Joanne Folletta conducting and then Christine and Joyce and Cynthia, as you mentioned, be our guest vocalist and performers and instrumentalists. I think is something she would really get a kick out of.
That's really cool. Thanks for mentioning her. And that's sort of the perfect segue into, you know, let's talk some of the history of the founding of Wolf Trap itself. It was founded, when was it? It was 1966, right?
Yeah, the actual gift to the nation was made in 1966. That was when Congress accepted Mrs. Schaus's gift of creating this new national park for the arts. Then it took 5 years to construct, of course, and 1971 was the first season in which patrons could come in and hear concerts.
Right. Well, and I want to get to that first season in a second, but talk about sort of that period between 66 and 71, you know, where it's sort of in the development phase there. Talk about her vision in terms of having this area of, you know, protected green space where, you know, she had to have had a huge foresight to realize that the city, the urban sprawl, was going to stretch out beyond the borders of DC, stretch out into Virginia. And this was her idea to keep, you know, no matter how big it grows, it's always going to be a green space as far as the eye can see when you're in there.
Yeah. And, you know, you've kind of encapsulated that perfectly, because, you know, back in 66, all of the Northern Virginia area in which we're located was all farmland. I mean, it was farmland for as far as the eye could see, and there wasn't a beltway. There wasn't a Tyson's Corner Mall. There wasn't a Reston, really. That was 66 of the first buildings at Reston. When Dulles was opened and the Dulles Access Road was created, Mrs. Schaus had, as you say, the foresight to know that Washington was going to grow west eventually. You know, it would grow out towards Dulles naturally. Not everyone at that time would have said that. As you probably know, Dulles was thought of in the beginning as a bit of a white elephant. You know, it's too far. And then now look at us, you know, between Tyson's, Reston, Ashburn, the Silver Line, what has happened out here is Northern Virginia has become its own mini metropolis. You know, we have our own in a way, sets of town centers, and it has become part of a much broader DMV. And you're right. Mrs. Shouse thought, I could protect this land through a gift to the nation so that literally forever, there would be 100 acres of permanently protected green space that would always be used for music and art. So I like to think of it as the Central Park of Northern Virginia. It's like when you live out here, you're moving out here, your company's out here, this is always for you. It'll always be here. It is a year-round amenity. It is a national park. And how lucky we are that she thought of this back in the day.
Absolutely. And remind me some more of the about the, you know, you said 100 acres of protected green space. I mean, talk about how, you know, if some of our listeners, myself included, you know, we're so familiar with coming out and seeing the concerts, but, and of course you added the barns as well, the indoor concerts, but like, I don't think I've really even tapped into enjoying the park green space enough. Remind our listeners, like how much, what all is there you can do picnicking wise?
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, it's funny because, you know, with pandemic last year, with all of the challenges it brought, one thing it did do is it brought a lot more people out to the park during the day on the weekends because everybody needed to be outside, right? We were all craving outdoor space.
Right.
Wolf Trap National Park is a series of beautiful hiking trails. There's a wonderful meadow for, you know, outside enjoyment and playing, and kids are playing there on a daily basis. Lovely place to walk your dog. There is a beautiful pond, streams. I mean, it is really a diverse ecosystem back behind the Feline Center. And one of the things that we did this year to help bring a little bit of attention to it is we co-commissioned a new piece of immersive music, which is called Soundwalk, and it's free and available for the next 6 months. It's an app you download, you go through the park with your headphones on, and as you're walking through these beautiful, you know, untouched forested lands, you have a soundtrack that was written specifically for Wolf Trap, and it's very custom in the sense that as you walk by certain markers in the park, you hear different sounds and music. So if you go twice and you take a different path through the woods, you're going to hear two very different sound experiences. If two people go and they take a different path, they're both going to have their own unique immersive sonic and visual experience. It's just another way in our 50th anniversary to remind people of just how vast an asset the park is and to encourage people to do exactly as you say, explore a little bit beyond the Feline Center, really get a sense of what's back there.
Great. So now doubling back sort of to 1971 then when it officially opened. So obviously it was gifted in 66. There was all the planning and building and development. And then it opens in 71. What did it look like then? Was it just the Feline Center?
You know, it was the Feline Center. It was many of the original buildings that Mrs. Shouse had left as part of her gift, including her weekend home that she had out there. A few things were different. I mean, over the years, the box office has been rebuilt and enlarged, the box office plaza. We added the Meadow Pavilion, which is the third theater space down back behind the Feline Center. There have been some few other changes here and there around the perimeter of the building. You know, it has evolved, but the Feline Center was, as it is today, the centerpiece of that whole experience. And of course, that original Feline Center burned down in the early 80s, and we all, you know that part of the story. But I think what's interesting about the Feline Center going back to 1971 is, you know, it's kind of hidden from view until you get up almost right in front of it. And it's a very modern building. You know, Mrs. Shouse loved brutalist architecture. She wanted to create something that spoke to the future, not the past. And I think it must have been quite something, especially back then, to think about, you know, Northern Virginia essentially being the farms outside DC, to drive out from the city, get off Route 7, climb up the hill to get to the top of the hill to crest over into the ticketed area. And here you have in the middle of farmland, a very, very modern, striking, enormous temple for music. I can only imagine the impressions of the very first visitors, because I think it's a real stake in the ground to build something that's that forward-looking in an environment that is so traditional.
Oh, absolutely. And you mentioned those first people coming in there, probably eyes agape and mouth wide open looking around. What were some of the acts that first year? A, what was the very first show, if you remember? And B, like, what was part of that opening season? Do you know the act?
I do. You know, the very first show was a show featuring the National Symphony, which is why, you know, we are paying homage to that tradition in our 50th anniversary concert. The National Symphony opened Wolf Trap, and the National Symphony has been our longest standing artistic partner and has had a summer residency for all 50 of our seasons. The big soloist of the evening was Van Cliburn, the pianist, who was a great friend of Mrs. Show's, and who in fact had provided some expertise and his advice in the design of the theater when it was still under construction. So he had a very vested interest. I love the fact that our pianist at our 50th anniversary concert is actually a Van Cliburn competition award winner, kind of paying a nod back to Van Cliburn himself. But that original concert also featured Mrs. Schaus's great artistic love opera, as we are featuring in the 50th anniversary concert. It was broad. It was all the things that Wolf Trap ultimately was known for, which is to have a real celebration of a lot of different kinds of music, really something that speaks to a very wide audience. But that first concert itself, to answer your question very specifically, was anchored by the National Symphony.
That's great. I believe it was a similar story for Meriwether out in Maryland. I believe that they both were built for the symphony to have places to go play outside the city. I think
that is true. That is absolutely true.
Awesome. Well, do you know when, so that was for the symphony. Do you know when Wolf Trap started welcoming, you know, more pop acts?
You know, the pop acts at Wolf Trap kind of evolved even in those early years from the early period. I mean, definitely the earlier mix was more symphonic, opera, and dance. Those were very big features of both Wolf Trap's first decade, as well as a lot of the big summer festivals for music in our country. You know, that whole business of touring of orchestras, opera companies, and dance has changed very dramatically over the years. And more pop, rock, jazz, et cetera, have come into the mix. But I think it's interesting to note that, you know, one of the first concerts after opening night in 1971 was the Preservation Hall Jazz Band, which was another favorite of Mrs. Schaus. And so we are bringing them back in July of this year. You know, they've also celebrated decades of longevity, and they've evolved over the years, of course, with different lineups. But the Preservation Hall Jazz Band tradition continues, and they'll be back with us this year, kind of, you know, saying thank you and celebrating the fact that they are, in fact, outside of the National Symphony, the other one act that will have said that we were on the inaugural season as well as the 50th anniversary season.
That's a cool bookends, and the way you have that scheduled. I love that. So I want to touch on some of the huge famous acts that have played there over the years, but man, it would, you know, if we went through all of them, we'd be here, you know, another 50 years talking to you and me talking about it. But are there big, you know, are there any famous legendary shows that happened there over the years? I mean, you've had everybody, but like, you know, internally amongst you, Wolf Trap, you know, the folks that work there, you know, is there any that live on in lore?
You know, there are, and it's funny because I was just looking at a comprehensive list of artists for my own purposes over the last couple of weeks, and it kind of depends on what genre you're looking at. I mean, if you're a jazz fan, for example, and you think about the fact that Count Basie or Sarah Vaughan or Ella Fitzgerald, I mean, the names are titans, and you think about, you know, not being able to go back to that era again because so many of those incredible legends of jazz have passed on. Those are, for many of our audiences, maybe some of the most memorable things they can remember about Wolf Trap. I also look at, you know, whether you're a Willie Nelson fan or a Whitney Houston fan, you know, you would have had a memorable experience at Wolf Trap seeing those artists. I think about all of the highlights in the world of opera because that was such a central component of Mrs. Schaus's love and is something that we continue to nurture to this day. And all of the enormity of the star power in the world of opera that have appeared on that stage. But then I also think about, you know, the fact that 3 years ago we had Robin and Royksopp on a double bill, which was one of the five greatest concerts I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
And I think, you know, I love that fact that, you know, here we are talking about Robin and Ella Fitzgerald and Willie Nelson in the same breath. I don't know that a lot of other venues in the world are going to say all of those artists had a home on that same stage.
Yeah, it really does run the gamut. And thank you for mentioning some across all the different genres. You mentioned it earlier about, you know, the infamous fire in the 80s that burned it down. Remind some of our listeners, maybe younger listeners that don't remember that, you know, what sparked the fire and how it was rebuilt.
Well, you know, I quite frankly don't know that there is an answer to what sparked the fire. But the fact of the matter is, in the early 80s, Wolf Trap burned down just before the season was about to begin in 1982, I believe. And the entirety of the Feline Center, as we remember it and know it, burned to the ground. I wasn't here at the time, of course. I've seen a lot of the local news that was covering it in that evening. And I certainly have spoken to many, many members of the community who remember that day very vividly. Very sad day for all of us. I think one of the things that is just truly shocking and remarkable about that time is that Mrs. Schaus and the supporters of Wolf Trap, the community at large, and the Park Service got it together to have a temporary structure built out in the meadow and open later that year. You know, they had an abbreviated season, and they used that temporary structure through the next season and actually rebuilt the Feline Center in under 2 years. It's a remarkable story when you think about what that meant, that there was no break in concerts at our National Park for the Performing Arts, the ingenuity that had to be called upon to make that happen. And the fact that the entirety of the community pitched in, you know, people from every state around the country did what they could to help Wolf Trap rebuild as quickly as possible. Many fundraisers were held at all of our peer organizations, including the Kennedy Center. The Park Service, you know, stepped up, the government stepped up, and the community came together to make sure that Wolf Trap was never dark. And I think that's a really remarkable part of that story. The fire is one thing. The rebirth is really the inspiring part.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't know that part of it. That's really cool. You barely missed a beat.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, then, as it stands today, the Feline Center, talk about what just makes it such a great space, you know, acoustically, even aesthetically. You know, why does it stand out amongst all the other venues that you could go to in D.C.?
You know, I think the Feline Center has a couple of very specific characteristics on display that speak to its truth. And what I mean by that is, you know, outdoor venues sometimes, particularly newer outdoor venues, can have a slightly cookie cutterish feel, and they're made very efficiently. Wolf Trap was always thought of as a really, really beautifully designed concert hall that happens to be open air. The acoustics are very finely tuned, and they were very, very thoughtfully planned. And the fact that it's entirely clad in an organic material in Douglas fir, inside and out, you know, people see the beauty of the Feline Center when they walk up to it, when they go, particularly if they're sitting indoors, and they look up and they realize that the entire facility is clad in that Douglas fir. I mean, it's like miles of Douglas fir. I think you get a sense that this is not a facility that was built to be as economically efficient as possible. And that may be a long way of saying it wasn't built cheaply in order to simply do its job. It was built to last, and it was built to be itself a work of art. And I think, you know, when artists come to us, especially when they're coming for the first time, and they step out on that stage and they see the beauty of the interior of the building, which matches the exterior, and they get a sense of how pure the acoustic is, every one of them says the same thing to me, which is the people who built this cared about us. They cared about artists. This is a place that is built for and in celebration of artists. And that makes us feel good, because ultimately, you know, we're all just audience members. You, me, everyone listening, we are here to be in celebration of artists. And so if artists feel good in the space, I know that we are more than halfway to our goal.
Absolutely. And then the other half, the audience part, It's really built for them as well. Like there's the whole notion of, you know, even if you don't get down in the ticketed, you know, the seated area, you can pretty cheaply sit out on the lawn and have bring your, you know, own picnic blanket and all the concessions. Talk about why that's such a magical thing for so many, you know, especially families. You can just sit out on the hill.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, we like to think that, you know, Wolf Trap is a very accessible place. It's part of our DNA, whether it be the picnicking policy, you know, the fact that you can bring in your own food and drink, you can really create your own experience from that perspective. The parking is free. The park and the trails are available to the community year round, as we talked about earlier. You know, I'd like to think that a young family, you know, coming to showcase to their young children the symphony or Misty Copeland dancing in a ballet or going to hear a great jazz band or going to hear, you know, Paul Simon or Lionel Richie for that matter, that they say, you know what, this is a place I can take my kids, I can pack a picnic, I can sit on the lawn. It doesn't have to break the bank. It's a very comfortable and casual environment. It's a place where kids are going to naturally feel comfortable. That's always been our goal. It's always been our position. And I know Mrs. Schaus's original vision was this should be a place that people feel comfortable. And there's many, many different ways you can achieve that. But that's always something we're thinking about.
Well, it really shows. And before we hop off here, we'd be remiss if we don't go a little bit into the barns. You know, when was the barns added? And, you know, what's sort of the beauty of that as, you know, as the winter months roll around and stuff, you have somewhere else that people can play?
Yeah, the barns was added in the early 80s, actually, just outside the boundary of the national park, over by where Mrs. Schaus eventually had her second weekend home out in the country. It's just a hop, skip, and a jump away from the Feline Center. And just as you say, it provided an opportunity for us to present music year-round. It also is the home in a typical year of our beloved Wolf Trap Opera Company. It gave them their own first permanent home. And it's very intimate. It's very intimate and it's very historic. You know, the two barns of Wolf Trap, which make up the barns, are both transplanted here from New England. Barns that Mrs. Schaus had visited just to, as a concert goer, to go hear a chamber music concert, loved them so much that she had them dismantled and brought to her property and rebuilt by master barn builders. And the barn in which the concerts happen now is approaching its 300th anniversary. I think it's 291 or 92 years old. Wow. So it is very ancient timbers, so to speak, when you're in that facility, which I think helps contribute to the beautiful acoustical environment. And it's kind of, you know, it's kind of the opposite of the Feline Center. It's indoors as opposed to outdoors, and it's very, very intimate as opposed to the grandeur of the national park. At the barns, we have space for just under 400 concert goers, which means every seat is perfect and every concert is like being in the lap of the performer, which is a wonderful, wonderful experience.
For sure. And then you said if it opened, like you said, it's really ancient timbers of the barns themselves, but it opened as an indoor venue for you guys in the 80s. So does that mean, did that survive the fire or did it was built after?
It's far enough away that it totally survived the fire.
Gotcha. Wow. Well, that's a good thing. Well, yeah, they're just two, both of them are just great, great spots. Like, you know, in the Feline Center is like the best, in my opinion, place to see an outdoor concert. And then in the winter, you know, my wife and I just went and saw Tanya Tucker inside the barns and yep. It's great. So yeah, I mean, it's no matter what time of year, it's just great to come to Wolf Trap. Before we go, I've always wanted to know, and I assume it ties into the fact that it used to be, you know, just completely rural area and that it's now a national park, but what's in a name, you know, where did the Wolf Trap come from? Were they trapping wolves back in the day?
that's, you know, I've heard a lot of different stories on that, but that's probably the one I've heard most often. Yeah. You know, this whole area, the Wolf Trap, there's a creek that runs through that farm called Wolf Trap Run. And the farm that Mrs. Schaus originally bought was called the Wolf Trap Farm. And the my understanding is that in the late 19th century, trappers did actually hunt wolves and trap them over by that creek, and I think maybe traded the pelts. You're kind of getting a little bit outside my historic field of expertise, but out of all the Wolf Trap stories I've heard, that's the one that makes the most sense.
Either way, it predates the actual.
No, this is a name that area has been referred to for well over 100 years.
Gotcha. Well, thanks for taking so much time to go through the history with me. You know, any parting words? Hey, TOP listeners, come on out to this 50th anniversary concert. Give them a call to action.
Well, come on out to our 50th anniversary season. Absolutely. And most of all, you know, thank you. Because like so many venues, we have been humbled by the support over the last year. It has been the most challenging period I think anyone could ever have envisioned in the live music business. And if it weren't for fans and supporters and philanthropists, none of us would be here. So thank you, and come back out to Wolf Trap to see a show.
All right. Thank you so much. Arvin Minocha on WTOP. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
All right. We'll catch you later.
All right. Bye.